Good morning, everybody. It is great to see you this morning. And if you're visiting with us, I want to encourage you to come back next week and meet the rest of us, okay? Because as Vic and I were talking about church last night, as we do on Saturday nights a lot, I mean, it's not the only time we talk about church, but especially, and we're just kind of going through a mental list of things, you know, of people and all that, and she just said, nobody's going to be there tomorrow. And I went, well, we're going to be there. And so that's somebody. But everybody's on vacation. I mean, we went through just mentally and came up with, I mean, there's probably, 20 people on vacation easily. So if you're visiting with us and you're looking around and you're thinking, well, there's goodness, they set out a lot of chairs for this many people. Well, there's more of us. It's just that time of year and everybody goes on vacation and they'll be back next week. So come back next week, meet the rest of the gang, and then you'll see why we're here. Because the folks that aren't here, they're pretty cool too, and you'll like them. But this morning, I want to kind of finish up something that we started about a year ago. And if you have your little chains, go ahead and get them out. And just hang on to them. I'm going to put mine right there. I've carried this around for a little over a year now, and this means a lot to me. This little piece of chain right here means a lot to me, because of what it represents and what it made me think about every day for a year. I hung this on my keychain on my church keys. See, I have ladies, y'all might not understand this, but guys, we don't carry a purse, so our keychain is a big deal. And for me, the bigger it is, the more I despise life. Because I've got this gigantic wad of whatever in my pocket. And so what I like to do is I like to scale that down and just have one key. My one key that I need, the van, the whatever that. And so I have my car key and then I've got my church keys. And my church keys get me in everything in the world except for my car. And that's what I put this on because I always, always have to know where those church keys are. I always do. Now, I might not carry them around in my pocket all the time because they weigh like 19 pounds, but I always know where they are, and I've always got to find them. And every time I get my church keys out, I hold them. I don't know what I'm going to do now, but I hold them by this little guy right here. And I hang them up by that little guy. And that was just always on there. And there's just something about them being on that church key ring with all of my keys to all of the rooms and the shed and all that stuff that I just had this on there. Because as you remember, this is our sin. Remember last year we talked about being free from sin? And I talked about, you know, this is a broken chain because you're free. Because you're free. Now, one of the things that I read in Scripture about this relationship with God is that our Christ-likeness is determined more by our joy than anything else in our life. If you read about the life of Christ, the life of Christ was described with joy more than anything else. Everything he did, you know, whether he was being hung on a cross or it was all about for the joy set before him. And so I've often said that one of the things that I want us to understand is if you're trying to gauge your Christ-likeness, what's your joy situation like? Now, I'm not talking about suffering or any of those things. I'm not talking about being persecuted. I'm talking about joy. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of whatever, what's your joy situation like? Because if your joy tank is empty, then Christ-likeness is probably not your biggest attribute. I mean, I'm not talking about how you drive in traffic and whether the road rage or your giving or your anything, your church attendance. I'm talking about your joy.
And then the other thing about it is that is freedom. Because remember last week in the scripture reading, it says, where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. When you think about your relationship with God, do you think of restraint or do you think of freedom? See, freedom is one of those, and like I said last week, it's kind of a myth. I'm growing more and more aware of its non-existence than anything. But God said there's freedom. This morning I want to talk about that. I want to talk about freedom from tyranny. Freedom from oppression. Freedom from the feeling of being held back. Freedom from despotism. What would hinder your joy? That's what I want to talk about this morning. Remember in Romans chapter 6 last week, we read about, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Because anytime you start talking about grace, and anytime you start talking about freedom, and anytime you start talking about those sort of things when it comes to God, everyone goes to, or a lot of people do, so what you're saying is that I can just do whatever it is I want to do. And the answer to that question is absolutely. Remember, you do what you want. Do whatever you want to do. Because that's what's going to determine who we are. That's important. Do what you want to do. So I get to do whatever I want. Yeah. So if we want to please God, he says, should we go on sinning? Well, no, by no means. We've died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Don't you know that all who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We are buried with him through baptism to be raised in glory. We've been united with him like this in his death. We certainly are also united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So this morning, I'm here to tell you, we're free. We're free from what? In Romans 5, 1 through 5, Hyatt just got through reading that we're justified by God's faith. We rejoice in the hope of the glory. The hope that does not disappoint us, because God's poured out his love to our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, when we have the Holy Spirit of God, then what we want is something completely different than if we don't have the Holy Spirit of God poured out in us. So the first question that I want to ask you this morning, when we're talking about freedom from tyranny, is what is it? What is tyranny? What is this thing that holds you down? Because to define what it is that is oppressing you will determine what it is that you want. And until you know that, then what we do here anytime is immaterial. What is it that is robbing your joy? What is it that's robbing your freedom? Because that's what tyranny is. It's what's robbing you of your freedom to do whatever it is that you want to do. So you have to decide, what is it? What is the tyrant in my life? Number one, is sin really tyranny? Hey, where are you going with this, Shane? Is sin really what's holding you back? Is sin really what's robbing your joy? Or is having not to be, is not being able to sin robbing your joy? See, that's what Romans is struggling with. That's the question that Paul's trying to get to. And as a preacher, that's what I'm struggling with in my own life and in the lives of my people, is that I look around in me and in others and I say, what is it that's really robbing our joy? Is it what we can do or what we can't do? Is it what we're prohibited from doing, or is it what we want to do? You gotta answer that question. Otherwise, all this is dress up and make believe. And if we're gonna be the church, remember last week when I was talking about this this transformation. I said, man, if we're going to change the world, if we're going to do anything, if there's going to be revival, it's got to start in the church. And I heard amen and come on, brother, and you tell them and all that. And boy, it is great to be and exciting to get behind somebody that's saying we've got to change. And let me tell you, what I'm talking about now is the change we have got to look at. What is it that's robbing your joy? Is sin really tyranny? When you think about sin, what do you think about? You think about other people's? You think about what you struggle with? You think about, man, I really wish God didn't have such heartburn about this, that, or the other, because life would be so much simpler if I could just do that. Because that's what I want to do. And see, until the sin itself is the tyranny, and not the inability to conscious free do the sin, then we really, the Holy Spirit's not in us. The Holy Spirit of God is not, you know, it's, then it's just this law. And what does he say about the law? The law doesn't bring life. Law brings death. The problem is that so often in the church, we take this law, this capital L-A-W law, that really, whenever you see that, it's talking about the law of Moses, the sacrifices, keep the Sabbath, keep it holy. You know, don't do this, do this, don't, you know, don't work on this day. And we exchange that for this new set. And it doesn't bring life either. It brings just as much death. It's like Tide detergent. It's just new and improved. It's just easier to remember them all. See, you must know that you're not currently free in order to pursue true freedom. You see, what God's got to teach us, and I'm not really sure what the next one is, so just go ahead. That's what I reworded it on there. You got to be aware. You have to be aware of your slavery before you'll seek liberty. You got to know that you're not free now before you'll ever seek the freedom that's offered in Christ. You have to know that the sin that we pursue, the sin that we hide, the sin that we justify, that we sanitize, that we somehow make okay, we have to know that is really slavery, that's really chains, or we will never, ever pursue a life outside of that. We'll just get better at hiding it. We'll get better at justifying it. We'll get better at finding bigger sins in other people, and we'll continue to live in slavery, in tyranny, with no joy, never experiencing the freedom that we read about. You have to understand that we're slaves. We're slaves to these things. Another question we have to ask, are we willing to discover that slavery? Are we willing to spend time in prayer. Spend time in fasting. Spend time in meditation. Spend time in communion with other people in order to discover and to realize and to bring to the surface what that tyranny is, what that sin is, what that slavery in us is. Are we willing to just say, you know what? I really, really like doing what it is that I'm doing that's separating me from God, and I don't know how to stop liking it. Are we willing to do that? To discover the slavery? Or are we just willing to experience life, as I've said before, and one of my favorite C.S. Lewis quotes is, "We are content making mud pies in a slum because we cannot fathom or comprehend the idea of a holiday by the seashore. See, we live life slaves to a worldly experience because we're unwilling to discover what it is that's enslaving us. So we have to be, and these are questions that I can't answer for you. One of the things, and I'll tell you this, if you didn't go to the summer celebration at Lipscomb this year, first of all, I want to say, go next year, because it's awesome. I went Sunday night, and it's the second year in a row that I've planned, I've made everything, and then I was unable to go on Monday or Tuesday, and I wanted to go, and I'm going to listen to him on the podcast and get Earl's tapes and listen to him and all that, but, you know, kids at the doctor, broken ankles, Hyatt's got ear and foot, da-da-da-da, so I'm there Monday. Tuesday, Lisa needed blood, so, you know, be here to open and unlock and all that and help and or lock up and blah, 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 so. But it's great. And it was worth being there to hear Chris Seidman's comments on preaching. Which, have you ever had a life-changing moment? You ever had one of those moments that just changed your life, changed the way you think about it, changed the way you think about things? Was it something that you had to write down, or did it just happen and you remember it? Just happened and it remembered it, right? For the most part. And Chris Seidman, one of the greatest preachers of my generation, and I love this guy, he said, so anytime that I give you a sermon outline, I'm admitting that this is not going to be a life-changing event. And sermons rarely are. I mean, if I asked you what I preached February, you couldn't tell me. If I asked you what you ate in February, you couldn't tell me. But you know you ate, right? So it's doing something. It's just, but my hope this morning is that maybe this won't be that life-changing moment, but it'll lead to one. Maybe it'll lead to one. Because every week I stand at that door and people tell me what a great sermon I preached, or you know, man, that was great, or it was. And I've heard, man, that was the best sermon you've preached since you've been here. Now, so I've been told that the second week I was here, and I've been told that, you know, in the eighth year. And I always think, well, we'll see. Because it's meaningless if it doesn't lead to some life-changing event. And I don't know if this moment's going to be one. I don't know if the next 5 minutes are going to be that. But I hope it leads to one because there's freedom in the balance. Because if you're willing to discover your slavery, you're willing to change something about your current condition. So is sin, you have to, is it really tyranny? For you right now, for me right now, is sin really what's robbing my freedom? Or is God robbing it? The second thing is sin really death? I mean, we read in Scripture, I mean, we read a lot of things in Scripture. We learned that this morning, don't we? We read a lot of things in Scripture. And at face value, Scripture is what, you know, Scripture, at face value, it is what it is. But when you dig into it and you read into it and you get into the language and the culture and the time and you really put some effort into it, effort that quite frankly most people aren't willing or inclined to do, but when you dig into it like you dig into other things in life, when you study it to the point of just exhaustion, man, it just, there's so much there, and it speaks so much, but Scripture says that sin is death. Isn't that what it says in Romans a little bit later on in 5? Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. Now, he's talking about physical death. But he's also talking about spiritual death. Because back in Genesis, when Satan says, when the snake tells Adam and Eve, go ahead and sin, you're not going to really die today. That was the truth. But it was an implied lie, because what he meant was is that you're never going to die, and that's not the truth. And he also was playing on the fact that they had no idea about spiritual death. And so he led them down the primrose path. But this passage is talking about physical death and spiritual death. And physical death is happening to each one of us right now, and it will come to fruition one day. But we think of spiritual death as that moment where we either go to heaven or we go to hell. I mean, isn't that, you know, we think of that, that's spiritual death. No, see, spiritual death is happening to us right now as well. And it's going to come to fruition one day, where it's either here or it's there. But how you live every day, what you experience every day, is spiritual death or spiritual life just as real as physical death and physical life. And that's exactly what that scripture is talking about. And the freedom that we have is the amount of spiritual life that we experience or the kind of death that we experience. And we have to decide, is sin really death? Are the things that I do, that I pursue, that I crave, that I plan towards, and we know that we do. And if we don't, then this needs to be a week of prayer and of fasting and of asking God, reveal to me what it is. We got to, we got to decide, is it really death? Or in our mind, is that living? And then once we decide that, we have to decide, are there some things worth dying? Are there some things worse than dying? You know, you guys know I love movies. I like mafia movies. I like movies. I love cowboy movies. And not the cheesy, please don't hurt me, not those, you know, cheesy John Wayne. Love John Wayne. Tough guy, the Duke. I mean, but come on. I like cowboy movies, you know, like Wyatt Earp or Tombstone. Or Open Range. At my house, anytime Open Range is on, we got to watch that. I don't care where it is. Six times a week. We got to watch that movie. Now, one of the characters in Open Range, Kevin Costner, who I think I have a little man crush on Kevin Costner because he's a great actor. In that movie, he plays this cattle ranch hand kind of guy who has a past. He's got this past where, man, he was a killer. I mean, he killed people. He was just, and then he's kind of running from that, from that past, and he gets caught up with this guy that he calls Boss, and they run these cattle, and they don't really talk about their life. And there's this one scene where, it comes to this showdown in the town, in this little town that hates free rangers, and they're free range cattle guys, and this town hates them. And there comes this point where there's going to be the showdown. And see, Costner, you know, his character has fallen in love with this single lady in town. She's, you know, in her 40s, never married, whatever. And so they kind of hit it off, but they're real awkward because neither one, you know, all that, whatever. And so he's going into town for the showdown. And man, they're not going to let, they killed his friend, and they're, so we're not going to let them get away with this, and we're going to stand up. And she says, what if you get killed? What if you die? What if this is the last time? Are you sure you've got it? Can't you just ride out of town? Can't you just go on and get out of here? Because you could die. You could be killed. And he looks at her and he gives her this line that he loves. And he says, you know, I've learned something in my life. There's a whole lot of things in this life that's worse than dying. Do we believe that? I mean, do we believe there's a whole lot of things in this life worse than dying. Because sometimes being free starts off feeling a whole lot like dying. Being free from that tyranny feels a whole lot like dying. My last question this morning is, will you be free? What matters most to you in this life? What matters most to you, period? You might be thinking, well, my kids, my wife, my husband, my family, my job. If the answer to that is not God and God alone, then I have to ask you, will you be free? Because now you're not. If sin is really tyranny, and the Bible says that it is, and if sin is really death, and the Bible says it is, will you spend time, have you spent the last year, will you spend time now thinking about holding this in your hand and thinking about what is it that's keeping me, what is it that I don't believe is worse than dying? Because that's what this is. This piece of chain, whatever it is it hate? Is it adultery? I mean, we can go through the biggies, you know, the top to, you know, the headline sins, the one that, you know, the ones that we read about, that we talk to, that every other people are. Is it homosexuality? What is it? What is it that has you chained, that's keeping you from being free, that's keeping you from experiencing the joy that is in God, that is in Christ? Is it idolatry? Is it murder? Is it addiction? Substance, pornography, gambling? Is it materialism? Is it greed, envy, jealousy? Is your sin worry? Is it gossip? Is it ill-conceived motives against other people? Is it self-righteousness? Oh, he's meddling. Oh, he stopped preaching and went to meddling. Is it disunity? Is your sin unforgiving? Is your sin compassionlessness? Is your sin the ability to walk past those who are hurting and in need with all of the means and opportunity to do justice, and we watch and we turn a blind eye and do nothing about it? Is that your sin? Because it's slavery. Oh, but I kept what was mine. Lance already told us this morning it's not. And guys, I'm standing up here talking a big game. But I'm a slave too. If I can get real with you for a second, I'm a slave too. I'm just as greedy, and I worry just as much. I'm as materialistic. You know, one thing I love what you said, Lance, about sacrifice. You know what I put in the collection plate this morning? My motorcycle payment. Tim will tell you, oh, I want a motorcycle so bad. I've had motorcycles, pictures of motorcycles hanging up above my desk. Put a motorcycle payment in there this morning. I haven't always done that. I'm just saying, what is it? What is it? Who do you not like? Who can you not stand? Who's your arch enemy? Go to that person and love them. Because until you do that, you're not free. Who do you despise? Who do you know is lost without Christ? Who do you know, you know, and we're good at looking at, but what's, you know, who, what group of people do we not like? What group of people, if they walked in here, we would say, well, they're going to have to make some changes before they came in here. Go find one of them and love on them until they know Jesus, and that changes them. Until then, you're not free. Who are we willing to send emails about without ever sharing the truth about the gospel of Christ? Earl can tell you about a ministry of service. Everybody's going to flock to Earl after church. That's good. Earl's a good guy. Talk to him. Tell you about a ministry of service. Not a ministry of hate. A ministry of service that will change lives. It can free the greedy. It can enlighten a Muslim who doesn't believe in the true and living God. It can open the eyes of those whose eyes are closed, and it can change the world through love and service. You heard about it. You heard about it this week at Lipscomb. When others want to go and find out, well, what's the future direction of the church? You can go and find out, what does it look like to live like Jesus? That's the direction of the church. Doctrinal issues are not. Service is. Living like Christ, living free. Are we willing to take this sin, this slavery, call it what it is, and put it where it belongs, at the foot of the cross? Maybe you've thought about it for a year. I know I have. And I've been ashamed to call myself a preacher, because I know what's in my heart. And the only good news that I have is I don't want it to stay there. I don't want it to stay there. I don't want to call slavery freedom anymore. I don't want to turn a blind eye to my own sin. I don't want to be content to look at the groups of people out there that the church would say are worse off than me and feel better about myself, knowing that my heart is just as envious, just as materialistic, just as self-righteous, just as pharisaical as those that Jesus would have thrown out of his dad's house. Will you be free? This morning I invite you to bring, only if it matters. If it doesn't, hold on to that. Pray about it. Maybe next week we'll have a pile of chains at the foot of the cross and a crowd of people living free. This morning I invite you to hang on to that. Hang on to that piece of chain that represents your sin. And when you're willing to define it, give it to God. Be free from it. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. But it's got to be in you. It can't be in somebody else. It's got to be in you. Would you join me as together we stand, as we sing?